powered by Riverside FM.
Conversations with My Sisters is a podcast where my seven sisters and I discuss life. Tony and Lorraine Aldridge, our parents, raised 11 children in Arizona. Dad was a mechanical engineer for Motorola. Mom was nurse, cook, maid, teacher, gardener, coach, referee, accountant, chauffeur, minister, friend, and angel in our home. Mom and Dad worked diligently at supporting each other in their roles as mother and father of a big family. When Dad was home, you could find him flipping pancakes, putting band-aids on owies, winning a tickle match, or reading stories after helping the youngest ones get ready for bed. Because I'm the oldest, I have vivid memories of the busyness when we were little, which is the topic of this episode. I'm glad you're here. Hello! This is Kristen with Conversations with My Sisters. I am so excited to introduce you to my sister, Dalene Seaman. Dalene, thank you for being here today.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
I know everyone is going to just learn so much from you. You have a very, very busy life, and we were just talking about some of the things that are happening in your family. Before we go any further, I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Sure. First, I'm so curious to listen to our recording afterwards because people always tell me we sound so much the same. So I'm so curious if our voices will sound exactly, it'll sound like you're talking with yourself.
It probably will.
When my friends listened to your first episode, that's what they said. Oh my word, it sounds just like you, Dalene. So I am number five. I'm the fifth of the sisters, the fifth of the children. I was in kindergarten when Kristen was a sixth grader. I remember that being a really important anchor for me at school when I came to this big new school. She was there to help me. I went to afternoon school. At that time, it was a half day. And so I can remember her coming to help me after school to find my way to the car. And that was
Dalene,
so sweet.
What a sweet memory. Yes. I remember you. I can picture you as a kindergartner. Your cheeks were chubby and soft, and your hair had such a pretty natural wave to it. You are always smiling.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, it was pretty awesome to have you there, and because I just knew that you know everything, and so I had nothing to fear. So yes, since kindergarten, I am a mother of nine myself, and we live in Illinois, and it's so crazy that my kids, when you ask them where they're from, they say Illinois, because like your listeners know, the rest of us grew up in Arizona, and the majority of us are still in the West, so Illinois seems really like quite an outlier, but there you have it. We fell in love with this little town in the Midwest and decided it was a great place to raise our kids, so we have loved it here. It's just the right size, not too big, not too small. I love the humidity, actually. That wavy hair is natural curl, and the humidity does my hair for me. I'm in some ways pretty low maintenance, and in other ways pretty complex. So I don't know. That's me in a nutshell.
Well, let's get down to some of this complexity that you have to reveal to us, Dalene. You know, when I had my kids and you had nine and they came quickly, you just have this big, happy nest of chickadees. Yeah. And it can get kind of messy and there are tears. The day seems to be so overwhelming sometimes. And then they are growing up and you have new kind of busy as they start going to school. And they're teenagers and more social experiences and sporting and musical activities. And it's just so much sometimes. Something that really helped me, and this is what I would love to hear from you about, is keeping my perspective that the little day, the little moment that is so hard is really part of a much bigger picture. What is this big picture, Dalene?
For me, I think you're talking about the zooming out and remembering that this moment in time is in the context of God's plan for His children for all eternity. So there's a before this moment in time, and there's an after this moment in time, and just keeping in perspective some of those things. They can feel very far off when a young mom is in the middle of it. So just trying to zoom out and see the before as well as the after.
When you say perspective, we all have a very unique perspective. We have a different past. We have a different future. We have different talents and skills because our experiences are so different. That changes the context of everything that we see and do.
Yeah.
So how can keeping the perspective help someone when all of our perspectives are so different?
I think one of the things about the before for me that would be applicable here is remembering that I chose this. Not only the idea that we lived before we were born and we chose our Savior Jesus Christ and that we wanted to come and gain a body and be in a family and all those things, but also just go back 10 years. I chose my spouse. I chose to become a mother. I chose, you know, to wake up this morning. All of those things to me are unique to my specific moment. And it still is so empowering for me when I remember that I chose it. It can feel so trapped sometimes, especially when life just gets crazy and busy. And I remember, and I believe that Satan uses that one so much to have God's children feeling trapped. But it's just not true. It's an absolute lie. We have a lot of options, and so we are in the moment we are in by choice.
Another choice that we can make, when you say we have all these options, I'm just going to talk about, let's say, marriage, okay? Mm-hmm. I chose my spouse. For me, it was 33 years ago. I chose him. One of my options is to not choose him. And I can think about other options. I don't even want to say it out loud, but divorce. Another choice would be to ignore him or to put a string in the middle of the room and say, I'm not going to cross this, or you're not allowed to cross this. To hold a grudge, to be upset, to argue. There are a myriad of options, right?
Yeah. Yeah, to acquiesce to every single little thing, to be a pushover, to be his little puppet. Any of those things are also an option.
That's true. Then after weighing all these options, I realized, you know what? I want to choose him again today.
Yes.
And so then it isn't 33 years ago when I made that choice. I'm making that choice again today.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I just think that's so important to maintain that perspective, to remember it's my choice all the time. Especially when it doesn't feel comfortable, or I would choose it right this minute. We could say, well, but no, but I did choose it. I am choosing it.
Yes. And once I convince myself, and it's just really a thought game, once I believe that, yes, I'm choosing him, then it's a waste of time and it's absolutely destructive for me to entertain any of those other options anymore.
That's right.
If we were to relate this to parenting, I'm choosing to love this teenager.
Yes.
I'm choosing to clean this toilet.
Right.
It's not what my degree is in.
Right.
I can go to college for this, but I want a clean toilet. Why? And you can think about the context of why as much as you want, as long as it helps convince you that, yes, this is my choice.
Right.
I want to have the bathroom smell good. I want my kids to feel comfortable at home. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my mother-in-law. You know, all these reasons why you're cleaning the toilet. And then, okay, yeah. This is my choice. I don't have to feel sorry for myself anymore because I'm choosing this.
Right. That's right. And I'm free to absolutely walk away from that choice and make a different choice. And then I'm going to have a different set of circumstances. So I'm choosing this.
What did you do when your kids were little to keep an eternal perspective? The perspective you were referring to earlier about there was a life before our mortality, and there will be a life after this mortality.
So many things. I think when we understand the doctrine of having chosen Jesus Christ and chosen mortality, then that is just like we were talking about with choosing our spouse, we can remember that we choose Jesus again every day. Mm-hmm. And with that comes that whole set of ideals and values, because when I choose Jesus, that means a covenant relationship with him. It keeps me grounded in that end goal so that I can have the end in mind all the time. Some really practical things for me are the temple worship is constantly a reminder for me that this life is not all there is. I loved hearing a member of our temple presidency sharing a few months ago when I was there. He was talking about how some people say, oh, and they finish their session and they're on their way out and they'll say, all right, now back out into the real world. And I used to feel that same way. You know, I need to be empowered to get out there into the real world. He challenged that and he said, I think this is actually the real world.
Mm.
Our life outside the temple is very distorted. There are so many messages that distort what matters, what is reality, what are the consequences of a given choice. And yet, all of that is so distorted. But inside the temple, inside our covenants, inside a relationship with God, it is real. We can really remember and stay grounded in those things. So yes, temple worship and all the things that are part of that, sacrament meetings, scripture study and prayer. Anytime I can align myself again with the reality that supersedes this mortality, then that is always super helpful. And then little things like old family photos. The kids catch me a lot, you know, just looking at pictures of them when they were little. Because again, having that perspective of how quickly it's going to go by and how cute they were. And when it's a grumpy teenager, I needed that. I needed to remember how cute they were. Do you remember how dad used to say to us, it's a good thing you're so cute? And I think that's one of the ways that I remember that, you know, and then I can look at that grumpy teenager and say, you know what? I remember that you're a very cute human and I'm going to overlook this really garbage attitude you have right now. So I spent time in old family photos a lot, meditation, visual cues around the house, like, you know, reminders from conference quotes or pictures. So all kinds of things like that.
Those are wonderful. Something that helped me was scripture study, just time with God's word. And I know that you did that too. When everything is so busy and the kids are so demanding from the minute you open your eyeballs to the minute you close them, how did you work in scripture study, or did you?
I remember a specific experience I had that showed me the miracle of out of small and simple things are great things brought to pass. I can't now remember the year, but I was living in Texas, so it had to be between 2000 and 2006. President Hinckley gave the challenge to read the Book of Mormon by the end of the year. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I think that was like, was it October conference or was it August or something?
I don't know, but it was a challenge for me.
Yeah, yeah. Let's say it was August, right? Then it just gives us, you know, 5 months or something to read the Book of Mormon, start to finish. And I thought, oh my word. And at the time, again, I lived in Texas. So I had probably four kids and the oldest was maybe in kindergarten. My fifth was born when she was in kindergarten. So anyway, I had lots of littles. Okay. So I hope it feels like I've got some street cred. Because I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the prophet at his word, because what he said was there would be so many blessings. I don't remember them all now, but I just remember thinking, I want that. I want what he's promising. So I'm going to put it to the test. So I can picture myself outside in our backyard with my Book of Mormon in my lap. And I would look down and I would read some verses, and then I'd get interrupted by the kids and I'd attend to what they were doing while they were playing. And then I'd go back. And every time I hear the quote about Emma Smith saying how uncanny it was that Joseph Smith could go right where he left off when translating the Book of Mormon, that's what I felt in those months. I could go right to the verse and I could just pick up where I left off. And my brain, my mommy mush brain that normally couldn't hold on to a detail to save its life would remember where I was, what it was saying, and I could just pick up where I left off, keep reading, and fully comprehend and enjoy that study of the Book of Mormon, even though I got interrupted 77 times in a chapter. It was a true miracle, and I did it. I read to the end of the year, I read the Book of Mormon. I think little choices like that, I didn't do it perfectly all the time. I didn't read my scriptures every single day while I had little kids, but I kept trying. I kept trying and I found miracles in my effort.
Wow. From your experiences with that and so many others, I know you could share, what do you think God wants parents to know about eternity. While you're thinking, one thing that God reminds me about eternity is that He is real. Mm-hmm. We can trust Him and that He loves me. I know that that sounds trite because we hear it frequently at church, but to really believe it changes my perspective. It helps me really believe that there is an eternity. And like you were talking about in the temple, how that is real life. You know, I am a spiritual being having a mortal experience, not a mortal being having a spiritual experience. When I read my scriptures, it reminds me that I am a spiritual being. I love the idea that God is in the detail of our lives. When we believe that, then we can trust Him. I know how much God has given me. He's given me my breath. And He's given me every opportunity. When I was a seminary teacher, I remember going to the temple and praying for my seminary students and sitting there in the celestial room after just thinking the question with a spirit of intent. Immediately, the words came to my mind, tell them that I love them. Mm-hmm. I really think that that's what Heavenly Father would want all parents to know too, is that I am real. I love you.
When we consider that He loves us, reminds me of a conversation you and I had at the kitchen table in your house in Utah. This would have been a few years ago. We were talking about interacting with our husbands, and something that made a difference for me was choosing to believe Him when He said, I love you. So now again, I'm talking about my husband. I don't know if you remember this conversation we had, but you said, oh my goodness, wait, say that again. We stopped and kind of hashed that out for a minute, why that would be significant and what it means to not believe. And I think that's important. So if we consider all the times when our husband says something that annoys us and we fixate on that and decide he's a terrible person, we are in a sense saying we don't believe him when he says he loves me because right. I think this or that, you know, he's annoying. He did this on purpose. He's neglecting this on purpose because he doesn't actually love me. I don't actually believe him, even though he has said he loves me. So that deflection is so powerful. It can ruin the feeling between two people. Exactly. So when God is trying and His love is pouring down on us, but we refuse to believe it, we can do that. We can shut it out. We can shut Him out. And we can insist that the story we have going on in our head instead is really what we're going to believe. And so I think that is so critical what you said.
Yes. Like, I'm not worthy of His love. Or if He loved me, then He wouldn't have put me in this situation. Or if He loved me, life would be easier.
A loving God wouldn't give me that commandment. Or a loving God wouldn't care if I did that thing. Yeah, there's so many ways where we are actually calling God a liar, you know, and resisting His love by alternative attitudes or beliefs that we instead choose to hang on to. So I do think that is so powerful and can really shift the way that we interact with Him and really just let His love flow into us. And so that's huge.
I know that Heavenly Father is anxious for us to feel His love. It's interesting to consider that we have the responsibility of letting that love fill us and support us in our parenting, in our careers, in our ups and downs of life. I invite you to consider how you can let God's love into your life and into your parenting and your home more this week. If something in this podcast helped you, please share it with a friend or a family member. We're grateful for modern technology. Let's use it to build up families all around the world. The next episode, Delene and I continue to talk about the concept of eternity and how the big picture can continue to bless us in our parenting. Heavenly Father loves you, and so do we.